Corruption is a word which often comes up in association with aid and development. Corrupt practices amongst politicians and government workers often shoulder the brunt of a blame game which undermines efforts to build public support for continued aid and development spending. But how big a problem really is corruption? According to the experts, it is hard to know. Some say that corruption may not hurt overall economic performance as much as we might think. But given the effect it has on political processes, sweeping corruption under the carpet ignores a reality that has a very real and current effect on national development in parts of the world. A recent event held at the ODI looked specifically at the relationship between organised crime and democratic politics. Panelists set out to explore the role of so-called dirty money in squeezing out political space and corrupting political processes. I spoke to Marta Foresti, head of ODI's Politics and Governance programme, and Catalina Uribe-Berca of International IDEA to try and find out more about how organised crime and politics interact in the world today. I began by asking Catalina to explain how dirty money enters the system.
Well, dirty money has entered the system through different shapes and forms. It is this idea that money comes in a bag, like a big boss is floating around during elections, is not really accurate, right? We've seen more organic and sustained relations over time. And as organized crime becomes more sophisticated and more interlinked with the legal economy, then it's easier for these linkages to take place more openly because it's not dirty money anymore. It's more legal money, apparently. Well, we've seen many examples of money being poured into elections. For example, I was earlier explaining the case in Bello, where it is believed that money, especially in the form of in-kind contributions, has reached local campaigns. And that's mainly the case at local elections. So we see it in Colombia, we see it in Guatemala, we see it in Peru and Ecuador. So Latin America has had quite a big hit, but also in the Baltic states, we see not necessarily relations, but actually organized crime members becoming politicians. So we see it, for example, in some border regions. There is the city of Pagėgė, for example, in Lithuania, in the border with Russia, in the next to the Kaliningrad region, where it is believed that, for example, some mayors have also used their political power to support organized crime and vice versa. So it is really, in a way, not necessarily linkages being created, but actually people coming back and forth. It's like a rotating door between organized crime and politics.
Given the breadth of the problem, it seems surprising we don't hear more about the relationship between development and corruption. Marta explains why that is.
I think there are at least two reasons why these are not very common issues in development circles. The first is that these are not easy problems for aid to fix. They're just not the kind of things that aid traditionally deals with. The second, which goes at the heart of what we're trying to do today with the event at ODI, is that we actually don't know much about it. We don't know much about how these phenomena affect development. And that's one of the reasons why we don't hear much about it, because we actually don't know much about it.
And is corruption a one-size-fits-all term? Shouldn't we distinguish between different types of corruption?
There is no doubt that different types of corruption affect development outcomes in different ways. There are issues of volumes and sizes, but also purposes and how corruption can be very damaging by further reinforcing problems that exist. In other cases, the research shows that this can be done in a fairly developmental way. There is a lot of research on that and, of course, a lot of controversies around it. What I would say is that there is a tendency to focus on corruption as the symptoms. This kind of phenomena, so the illicit trades, organized crimes, are root causes of corruptions, are the kind of things that if you're serious about better understanding and reducing corruption, we need to deal with. The problem at the moment is that a lot of the focus is on corruption per se and ways in which it can be stopped by being better controlled. This work suggests that there is a need to go beyond that and to look at what lies behind the phenomenon of corruption to understand better what the problems are, not the symptoms. Not an easy thing to do. But I think if we're serious about corruption, these are the kind of issue that we need to start dealing with.
So what does the kind of political corruption linked to organised crime look like in practice?
I don't want to be over simplistic here because it's not like a one unified structure, right? So there are many, many different drivers. It's mainly paralysing the state, so avoiding security services work so that they can easily move their goods. We saw it, for example, in Ecuador, in the city port of Manta, where there was a former governor who was found to have linkages with the Sinaloa and Cali cartels. And basically, he used his political power and his business power to make it harder for the security services to control the border and the port in that case. So it was easier to take drugs out from the port of Manta. As organized crime has become more sophisticated, many presumed businessmen have actually become having connections with organized crime. So it's harder in a way to control because by a large extent, it seems as though they are running a legal business.
So if the root of the problem is the ability of large sums of money to corrupt the democratic process, shouldn't we be equally concerned about the role of big business in politics? Not according to Marta.
I mean, there is no doubt that both of them, so dirty money and organized crime and big business, have the potential to affect negatively the political space and to hurt political voice. And they do share some features. This is about money buying out political space in different ways. I would say that the main difference is that at the moment in the international community and in development thinking, there is actually quite a lot of attention on big businesses. And following the G8, for example, a quite clear determination to go after some of those practices, for example, on tax havens and other tax-related issues. The problem with organized crime, as I said at the beginning, is that we don't know much about it, so we literally don't know who we're dealing with. So I would say that there is more to be done there, and there's no doubt it is harder because of some of the key features of the phenomenon.
So what can we do about this? According to Catalina, the answer may be to spread accountability for corruption from individuals to parties.
We've seen very interesting methods and tools developed in different countries, and we need to learn from those. For example, in Colombia, there have been very interesting, innovative rules, for example, to make parties accountable, not just the politician. So in a way, they are risking to lose seats in the parliament, the party itself, or even being closed, the parties. And they are discussing inter-party agreements as well, in a way that the candidates don't threaten parties that they're going to run then to another party with those votes and that money they have if that party doesn't endorse them. So these types of mechanisms that have been even developed in some of the countries that have more issues can be learned and shared among other countries that are facing similar issues or facing transition to democracies and thus a bigger risk of potential penetration from organized crime.
But for Marta, there are bigger solutions to be found, including the potential reform of drug laws.
I mean, I certainly agree that I think the time has come to take these alternative routes and these alternatives and some would say radical policy positions more seriously. It's not as if it's not happening. I think it's news of today that Uruguay is legalizing marijuana precisely with the name to stamp down organized crime. And so I think there is definitely scope to look into those solutions. It's also very clear that this is not that aid or the development community can lead on. These are fundamentally politically difficult decisions, but those which I think need to be looked into.
With an increasing number of internationally respected voices speaking out about drug law reform, the relationship between development and illegal drugs can expect further scrutiny.